This is Leonard Nimoy. In the months before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the rebellious American colonies are outmanned and outgunned on land and sea. They lack everything needed to conduct the war. They are especially short of gunpowder and are forced to import it. Captain John Barry of the infant American Navy is sent the following orders from the Marine Committee of the Continental Congress.
Philadelphia, April 7, 1776. To Captain John Barry, Esquire. As we are informed that the brig L'Espérance with a cargo of gunpowder from France has been disabled in the recent gale, you are hereby directed to take temporary command of the merchant ship Sarah Jane. You are to proceed to the waters off Cavendish, New Jersey, where you will fall in with the L'Espérance, transfer her precious cargo to your ship, and bring the powder safely into the Delaware River and up to the port of Philadelphia. However, as British warships are known to be cruising near the mouth of the Delaware, and indeed off New Jersey, we urge you to take particular care to avoid them, as your ship, the Sarah Jane, is not armed.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Powder Ship, by Robert Ellis. Our stars, Arthur Hill, Len Berman, and Peggy Hazard.
There is always a way to get things done, Mr. Graham.
John Barry was born in Ireland to a family of sturdy farmers. But life there was full of privation, and at the age of 10, he was forced to go to sea. He rapidly gained seniority in merchant ships. Eventually, he adopted Philadelphia as his home. And in 1775, as the difficulties between Great Britain and her American colonies turned into open revolt, he sought and won a commission as captain in the new American Navy.
I expect this cruise will provide a young naval officer with many opportunities for advancement, Captain Barry.
Lieutenant Donald Graham's history was almost the exact opposite. He came from the landed gentry of Virginia and grew up with every luxury. It was probably inevitable that there would be friction between the two men from the beginning. We are fortunate to have Lieutenant Graham's private journal, in which he kept an informal record of the events of his first cruise.
Our passage down the Delaware River from Philadelphia was slow and awkward. The crew had begun to discover the peculiarities of our ship, the Sarah Jane, and no one was pleased with her. It was not until we had rounded Cape May and were heading generally northeastward along the New Jersey coast that Captain Barry had a chance to speak to me other than about ship's business. A good following breeze was pushing us toward the area where the powder ship should be found, and the captain and I were together on the quarterdeck.
You have come with high recommendations from certain members of the Marine Committee, Mr. Graham. But I'm bound to tell you that your family's friends in Congress will not help you on board my ship.
I intend to prove myself to you, Captain Barry.
Time will tell on that point. I believe that you've done some sailing in Chesapeake Bay, small sloops, luggers, that sort of thing.
Yes, sir.
Better than nothing, I suppose, but I'd frankly prefer my lieutenant to have seagoing experience.
Our present cruise will barely take us out of sight of land, sir.
I was also told that you are independent and inclined to speak your mind. Those qualities may prove to be of doubtful value in a junior officer.
Yes, sir. As you say, time will tell.
I will warn you right now.
Sail ho!
Where away?
Starboard beam, Captain. Appears to be a frigate. Bearing away from us.
Very well. If she alters course, I want to know at once.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Lieutenant, I call your attention to the lookout Sewell, a man who knows his duties thoroughly and his position.
Yes, sir.
You will find me a man of action, Mr. Graham. I dislike officers who spend all their time in planning what to do and have no time left to get it done.
Yes, sir.
However, some planning is always necessary, of course. Now, you're acquainted with our orders. We are to bring the powder safely back to Philadelphia and in all haste. Once we have found the L'Espérance and she is alongside us, What would your course of action be?
Turn all hands to bring in her cargo on board as fast as possible. Lash some of the powder kegs on deck to save time. Head for Philadelphia.
No, Mr. Graham. You've fallen into a trap. Speed is important, but so is safety.
Yes, Captain. However...
This is not lumber or dried fish. This is gunpowder. And you want it out here on deck for every British ship to see? We have no guns on board larger than a musket, and the Sarah Jane is slow and cranky. We cannot defend ourselves, and we'd be hard put to outsail a sea turtle.
I see my error, sir.
I'm glad you do.
I'm also beginning to see the problems that lie ahead.
Only a few of them, I fear, Mr. Graham.
Captain Barry went over to consult with the helmsman, and I strolled to the larboard rail. I found myself unintentionally overhearing a conversation between two crewmen below me on the main deck.
Captain Barry and the lieutenant don't get along so good, do they, Josh?
Old Graham will come around sooner or later, Benny. He's new and he wants to advance. And he's lucky to serve his first cruise under Captain Barry.
You've been with the captain a long time, ain't you?
Yep, since 72, when we made trading voyages to the West Indies.
Mm.
Then, when he got his commission in the Navy, I joined up, too. We was in the Lexington together. And now, here we are back in a merchant ship again.
I'd feel a lot better if...
Hey, look off there, on the shore.
I don't see nothing but marshes.
There, that sandy point sticking out in the inlet right past it.
Oh, is that Cavendish?
No, we're getting close. I remember that inlet. Fished there many a time.
Is Cavendish a big town?
No, you could blow it away with a sneeze. Oh, there's a wharf and a brick warehouse and a church up the street. A few houses and farms all around.
Sounds real nice.
Well, it ain't. I hated it. Smells like mud flats. There's just ain't nothing there. Soon as I could run off to sea, I lit out.
Well, how about your family?
All gone years ago.
Didn't you ever go back?
Only once. Still hated it. Of course, I recollect a girl or two. Wager they're married now, with little ones climbing all over. They wouldn't even remember me.
Oh, sure they would.
Well, there was this one girl. Abby.
Abby?
Yeah. She was different from the others.
Pretty?
Aye, Benny. Real pretty. But I expect she's moved away by now. Nobody with any gumption would stay in Cavendish. That was a long time ago. We ain't likely to set foot ashore this cruise anyhow. We got a lot...
Where away?
Starboard bow, Captain. He's only showing her fore topsail.
Pick her out with a spyglass, Mr. Graham.
Yes, sir, I've got her. She's flying the French flag. Her main and mizzenmasts are gone, and she appears to be dead in the water.
We're in the area where the powder ship should be. May I have the glass?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, she could well be the L'Espérance.
Yes, sir. But in view of her condition, I would say she was more hopeless than hopeful.
I don't understand.
L'Espérance means hope in French, sir.
Does it? Well, I would say we can hope to make certain only by closing and hailing her. Would you be good enough to order the helmsman to alter course and head for her?
Aye, aye, sir. We drew closer to the disabled ship. When we were within hailing distance, Captain Barry took up the speaking trumpet.
What ship is that?
Ship L'Espérance. 41 days out of Nantes for Philadelphia. What ship are you?
Brig Sarah Jane. 2 days out of Philadelphia. Are you the captain?
Captain James Putnam from Connecticut. Proud to be a cousin of General Putnam.
Captain John Barry of Philadelphia. May I come alongside, Captain Putnam?
We'd welcome it, Captain Barry.
I don't trust him, sir.
Why not, Mr. Graham?
I believe a ship's captain would normally say I'd welcome it, not we.
We are not playing word games, Mr. Graham. Keep your pistol handy and out of sight.
Bosun, take us alongside.
Aye, aye, Captain.
There were no weapons in sight on the L'Espérance, and everything looked as it should. Captain Barry reminded me how urgently Congress needed the powder and added that it did not seem like a time for us to be distracted by small subtleties of language. We eased gently against the powder ship, Our hooks went over her rail, and the lines were pulled taut.
My compliments, Captain Barry. Well done.
Thank you, Captain Putnam.
No, men, all hands topside. Stop exactly where you are, you rebels. Don't reach for your pistol, Mr. Barry, or I'll blast your head off. My men outnumber yours 3-1.
Who in blazes are you?
Lieutenant Philip Nichols of His Majesty's armed schooner Marlborough, now tied up at Cavendish. Have I succeeded in surprising you, Mr. Barry?
This is Captain Barry, Lieutenant.
Oh, I know quite well who he is. Who are you?
Lieutenant Donald Graham of the American Navy.
The American Navy, indeed. In my book, any colonist fighting against His Majesty's forces is a traitor. I do not address traitors by rank. It strains my sense of decency even to call him Mr. Barry.
To answer your question, Lieutenant, you've succeeded in surprising us greatly.
Yes, I dare say I have. You see, we came upon L'Espérance quite by chance. Her captain informed me he had already sent word of her plight to Philadelphia, and it was obviously only a matter of time before some rebel ship would arrive to secure the powder. I sent the crew ashore in the Marlborough, armed my men, kept them in hiding below decks, and, by the way, Captain Putnam, who is now smiling broadly at you, is actually one of my gunner's mates. He's a native of Nova Scotia.
You appear to have foiled us.
Yes, I think that describes the situation. You might also care to know that your precious powder has been stored on shore under guard. In brief, Mr. Barry, I have captured your ship. And you, Mr. Graham, and your rebel crew are my prisoners.
During the American Revolution, the British Navy operated freely along the Atlantic coast. When one of His Majesty's vessels needed supplies or repairs, the commanding officer simply sailed into a town, threatened to bombard it, and proceeded to do whatever he wished. Communications were slow, and before the Americans could collect a force to oppose the invaders, the British had finished their business and sailed away. Lieutenant Graham's journal continues.
Lieutenant Nichols took all of us prisoners into Cavendish in the Sarah Jane, where we tied up at the wharf near his schooner. Captain Barry and I stood on the quarterdeck with Nichols while armed British sailors herded our crew down the gangplank below us and into town. A small crowd of local citizens gathered to watch.
Move along there, you rebels! Hurry it up!
What do you think they're going to do with us, Josh?
I wish I knew, Benny.
You think they'll put us in jail?
Most likely. For all of me, the whole town's a jail.
Step lively there!
Oh, shut up.
Josh! Josh Watkins!
Who? Abby! I can hardly believe it. There she is, Benny. She's the one I told you about. Abby!
Oh, Josh, please let me by. Josh, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Takes more than King George's Navy to hurt a good Jerseyman.
Move along, move along!
Oh, it's so good to see you. I thought I was never...
Out of the way, miss.
Get your hand off her arm.
Stop, you bloody rebel!
Keep those prisoners moving, Harrison.
Aye, Lieutenant. Go along now, move!
Lieutenant Nichols, his voice full of sarcasm, welcomed Captain Barry and me to Cavendish. Then he announced that he owed us an apology.
Yes, Mr. Barry. You see, I've commandeered the local jail. It will serve until I decide what to do with you. But I fear you'll find its facilities rather limited. In fact, you and Mr. Graham will be locked up in the same cell with your men. I'm so sorry.
Aren't you taking chances, Lieutenant? All your prisoners in one place?
Oh, I hardly think so. The jail may indeed be small, but it's strong as a fortress. There isn't a chance in hell that you can break out.
That night, although we didn't learn the details until later, our jailer had a visitor.
Blimey, who can that be? Who's there? What do you want?
Let me in. It's important.
You're a woman? This time of night? Go away. You ain't supposed to be here.
But I got Mr. Bodley's medicine.
Oh, Oh, and Topolis, mister. The idea!
Let me in. He may be dying.
He, oh, dying?
Hurry. Open up. Maybe I'm too late.
Oh, that'll be all I need. One of them dying on me. Hold up a minute. I don't know which key.
Oh, hurry, can't you?
I am hurrying. Whoa. Oh, you're a pretty one, ain't you? What are you doing outdoors this time of night?
Where is he?
Where's who?
Mr. Bodley. I got to give him his medicine.
Well, he wouldn't be out front here with me, would he? All them rebel prisoners is in the other room, locked up in the cell.
Mr. Bodley ain't a prisoner. He's the jailer.
He's here what? Oh, maybe he was the jailer.
Those are Mr. Bodley's keys on your belt.
Yeah, I expect they are. Lieutenant Nichols put me in charge here tonight. There wasn't hardly anyone else left. He put men on the Sarah Jane and the Lesmer...
So you're from the Marlborough?
Aye. Oh, I suppose you're a blooming rebel like all the rest here.
I'll have you know I'm a loyal subject of His Majesty King George.
Huh? Pretty and a loyalist to boot. Blimey, ain't that lovely? What's your name?
Abby. What's yours?
Timothy. But why are you fetching medicine to Mr. in the middle of the night?
Mr. Bodley, I do every night. He's sick and there's nobody to tend him since his wife died.
I expect you're his sister?
No, I ain't his sister.
Well, no, not his wife, not his sister.
It's a secret.
It would be.
Well, there's lots of loose tongues in Cavendish, but Mr. Bodley's got to have his medicine. And when I bring it to him, we usually...
Usually what?
Oh, we usually share a little drink.
A drink? Of medicine?
Oh, no, land's sakes. I got something else besides medicine here in my bag. There. What do you think of that?
Rum?
Yep. A bottle of good Medford rum. Lots better than your old Jamaica spirits.
Yeah, but don't nobody...
Mr. Bodley always says it's Medford rum that gets him through the night. You know, you even look a little like Mr. Bodley.
Do I now?
Oh, he's a mite heavier, of course. But he's about your age and...
Oh, my age, is he? Are you favour men of my age?
Oh, it's nice to have a drink now and again with an older man. The young ones is always grabbing at me and...
Grabbing, eh?
Suppose you and me could have a little tot of rum together?
Well, I'd like to well enough, but...
You ain't saying no.
Now, don't get all worked up. It's just that
I'm... Lieutenant Nichols will never find out.
Oh, it ain't the lieutenant.
What then?
It's me blooming stomach.
What's the matter with your stomach?
Oh, I don't know. Every time I drink any kind of liquor, I get these dreadful gnawing pains.
My stars, you mean you can't drink liquor at all?
No. The doctor says if
I vow I never met a sailor before that don't touch spirits. I thought you were starting to like me.
Oh, I bloody well don't need rum to like you.
Do you really think I'm pretty?
Didn't I say so?
Want to put your arm around me?
Oh, Lord love me, I wouldn't say no.
Well, now, how's that?
Oh, give us a little kiss, eh?
La, Timothy, you Britishers are terrible forward. But I guess one'd be all right. Here, on my cheek. Now, that's enough.
No, it ain't. How about the...
Oh, Timothy, let me be. Oh, great blazes. What would Mr. Bodley say?
Don't forget Mr. Bodley.
Oh, my lands, I did forget about his medicine.
Well, fetch it to him later.
Oh, I can't do that. Now, let me go. Oh, that's better. Goodness, I'll have to go to his house.
You ain't leaving now.
Well, he's got to have his medicine, ain't he? But I'll come back here afterwards.
Abby,
I'll be back inside of an hour. You just stay right here.
Of course I'll stay here. But Abby...
Abby came round to the back of the jail where there was a high barred window in our cell. She threw the jailer's keys into us, all the while trying to whisper the complex story of her efforts to slip them off his belt when he had his arm around her. We were all profuse in our thanks, Watkins in particular.
Good girl, Abby. Wait for us at the granary.
I'll be there. Be careful, Josh.
Watkins. Aye, Captain. Once we're out of here, you should marry that girl. I might just do that, Captain.
the Americans have escaped safely from the Cavendish jail and have met with Abby at the granary. Lieutenant Graham's journal continues.
The moon had set. From the window in the granary, we could just make out the wharf where Nichols's armed schooner Marlborough was still tied up on one side and our poor old Sarah Jane on the other. There was no sign of the disabled L'Espérance. Captain Barry questioned Abby about Lieutenant Nichols and his men. She told us that the British forces were divided among all three ships.
Oh, and he's got a couple of men at the warehouse with the powder, too.
Which ship is Nichols himself on, Abby?
None of them, Captain Barry. He took some men and went out to get provisions.
Out? You mean out of town?
Yes.
By all the saints, he's a confident devil. He's got his crew spread all over the Jersey coast, and he's away hunting turnips.
Beef, Captain.
Our work is laid out for us, sir.
That it is, Mr. Graham. Now, Nichols will have the largest group of his men still on the Marlborough, I expect. We'll have to deal with them before we can do anything else.
In order to avoid his mistake, Captain, perhaps we should keep all our men together, capture the Marlborough first, and then retake the Sarah Jane.
There's also the powder, Mr. Graham, which we were sent here to get. If we attempt two ships and the warehouse one at a time, it'll take too long.
Hmm?
We've less than 6 more hours of darkness, I should say, and we don't know when Nichols may come back.
Hmm.
Watkins?
Aye, Captain.
Can we see the warehouse from here?
Aye, Captain. It's that brick building that faces the stern of the Marlborough. It's got a lantern at the door.
I see. Mr. Graham.
Yes, sir.
Choose 4 men and overpower the guards at the warehouse. And don't make a sound. Stay there until I send word to you.
Aye, aye, sir.
Turn out the lantern to let me know when you've succeeded. I'm heading for the Marlborough.
My detachment took care of the guards at the warehouse in short order. Captain Barry's work was considerably more complicated, as he told me afterwards. He carefully reconnoitered the wharf and the ships and returned to the men in the granary with a plan of action fully prepared.
There's one man with a musket on the wharf at the foot of the gangplank to the Marlborough and 2 men on deck at the head of the gangplank. There's no one in sight anywhere else. Bosun?
Aye, Captain.
I want you and Sewell here to climb up over the stern of the Marlborough and make your way forward till you're hidden just behind those 2 men at the gangplank.
Aye, aye, Captain.
When I give the signal, we'll move together. Watkins and I will take care of the man on the wharf. You and Sewell will overpower the men on deck. Pick up belaying pins for weapons. There must not be a sound.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The rest of you men will stay here in the granary till I send for you. If anything goes wrong, it's every man for himself. Are the 2 of you ready, Bosun?
Aye, Captain.
Go ahead. Good luck.
And to you, Captain.
Very quietly, Watkins and Captain Barry made their way to the wharf. They found a great many casks and bales stacked about and were able to keep hidden behind them nearly the entire distance out to the gangplank. The captain made a sign to Bosun and Sewell, who were in position on the Marlborough, and the 4 Americans poised themselves to jump on the unsuspecting British sailors.
Any sign of life on the Sarah Jane, Watkins?
No, Captain.
All right. Our man is looking back toward town. Now he's looking down. You think you can keep him quiet, Watkins?
I'm sure I can, Captain.
I'll grab his musket. So the next time he looks out to sea...
Now! Go, Bosun. Go, Watkins.
Everything taken care of, Bosun?
Aye, Captain.
Good. Here, Watkins, let's hide this fellow under the gangplank.
Aye, Captain.
Yeah.
Now, take the musket and pretend that you're on duty here. I'm going on board.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Good work, Bosun.
Thank you, Captain. One of them had a pistol. Here, sir.
Excellent. That'll come in handy.
Everything all right there over on the Marlborough?
Aye, perfectly all right. How's the Sarah Jane?
Very quiet.
Trust it'll stay that way.
Amen to that.
Fast thinking, Captain.
Along with some good Irish luck.
Lieutenant Graham's taking the warehouse, all right, Captain. Look, the lantern's out.
Splendid. Now, Bosun, wait till that man on the Sarah Jane is out of sight again and go back to the granary for the others.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Bring them on board here, quietly. There is certain to be more arms in Nichols' cabin. We'll round up the men below decks here and take care of those on the Sarah Jane. And then we can start loading the powder.
Oh, it'll be a pity, Captain, to leave the Marlborough behind when we go.
But we're not going to, Bosun. We're going to bring the powder on board here. We're taking the Marlborough to Philadelphia.
The Marlboro wasn't built to carry cargo, and we were soon stacking powder kegs in the passageways, in the forecastle, and even in Nichols's cabin. When less than 10% of the powder still remained in the warehouse, I reported to Captain Barry that we would have trouble finding space on board even for that little.
We'll make room for it, even if we have to rip out the bulkheads and heave the ship's stores over the side. Bosun.
Aye, Captain.
Bring all hands back on board. On the double.
Aye, aye, Captain.
There's always a way to get things done, Mr. Graham. Well, the sun's up, and still there's no sign of Lieutenant Nichols.
No, sir.
Watkins.
Aye, Captain.
Load our stern guns. I want a gunner with a lighted slow match at each one.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I wonder how many men Nichols has with him.
Three or four at the most, I should think. The rest of his crew is securely locked up?
Yes, sir. In the hold of the Sarah Jane.
Whose idea was that?
Mine, sir.
Ingenious. Your work in capturing the warehouse was also well done.
Thank you, sir. But it was only a small part of our whole operation.
Patience, patience, Mr. Graham. You have plenty of time for still greater glory.
I meant only...
What the...
Hold it! Right there, Barry!
Look! In front of the warehouse.
It's Nichols.
I have sharpshooters aiming at you from both sides, Barry. That first shot was only a warning. The next shots will be the death of you.
Again, and here's the fourth act of The Powder Ship.
One move, Barry, from either you or Graham, and you're dead men.
Both my hands are here on the taffrail where you can see them, Lieutenant Nichols. But you can never get all of us off your ship.
I have many more men here with me than you think.
So, it's bluff he wants.
Can we oblige him, Captain?
I believe we can, Mr. Graham. How many men can you see with Nichols?
One man on each side, Captain, and one right next to Nichols. Three altogether. We're leaving you the Sarah Jane, Nichols, and we're taking the Marlboro.
One word from me, Graham, and you'll both be blasted off my ship.
We are the ones will do the blasting, Nichols.
With what?
With the 50 tons of powder inside the warehouse behind you. The Marlborough stern guns are aimed directly at it, loaded and ready.
Don't be an idiot. You wouldn't dare.
Each of my gunners has a lighted match, Nichols. If you so much as take a step...
That much powder would blow up the whole town and all you rebels with it.
You've got him, Captain. He thinks the powder's still there.
How close would you say you are to the warehouse, Nichols? 10 feet? 15?
We're at least 30 yards away, Nichols.
You wouldn't dare, you bloody rebel cowards.
Bosun, we're getting underway.
The first musket ball is yours, Barry.
You heard my order, Bosun.
Aye, Captain. Prepare to get underway.
I warned you.
Cannon ready, Watkins. Aim for the roof.
Aye, Captain.
Cast off lines, fore and aft.
Harrison, fire!
Watkins, fire!
You're insane, you'll kill us all.
Set main and four courses.
That was just the upper corner of the warehouse, Nichols. The next shot will smash through the center door right behind you.
Damn you, Barry.
You've lost your ship, Nichols.
You'll never get away with this. You'll hang, Barry. They'll track you down and hang you.
We've done it, Mr. Graham.
Yes, Captain, we have. Nichols really looked... Good Lord, what happened to your arm? It's bleeding.
Ah, doesn't amount to anything.
Did that musket ball hit you?
It hit the taffrail, but the ricochet...
Here, let me look at it.
Oh, no, really, Mr. Graham, it's nothing. Don't you realize we have our powder, most of it, and we've captured His Majesty's armed schooner, Marlborough.
Our return passage to Philadelphia began smoothly, but as we were doubling Cape May, we encountered a large and formidable British frigate. Lieutenant Nichols' signal book showed us what flags to run up to identify ourselves properly as the Marlborough, and told us that the powerful vessel only 100 yards distant from us was the Penelope, 32 guns, Captain Richard Hedspeth commanding. She ordered us to heave to.
32 guns. One shot and we'd go up with an explosion.
But as far as she knows, we're British too, sir.
Yes. We'll just have to continue the masquerade, won't we?
Ahoy, Marlborough! Captain Edgeworth wishes to speak with his nephew, Lieutenant Nichols.
His nephew? Lieutenant Nichols is ill, confined to his cabin.
Stand by, Marlborough!
Another hour, Captain, and we'd been safe in the Delaware River.
Oh, this won't amount to much, Mr. Graham. He'll send his good wishes. I'll tell him we're cruising for rebel shipping, and we'll all be on our way.
Probably so, sir.
Besides, there's a squall off there to the west beyond the frigate. I seriously doubt
Captain, look. The Penelope's putting out a boat.
Ahoy, Marlborough! We're rowing Captain Edgeworth over to visit Lieutenant Nichols.
Meddling old fool. Delighted to have him come on board.
Damn. You can't very well run, Captain.
No. I'll have to stay below out of sight, Mr. Graham. This bandage on my arm would beg too many questions. It'll be up to you to deal with Captain Edgeworth.
Yes, sir. Perhaps I could pose as Nichols' bosun.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Graham. Capital scheme. Have Sewell hunt up a uniform for you.
Oh, what about the men?
A ship this small, British sailors dress pretty much the same as ours. They look all right. Delay Captain Hedspeth until that squall is closer. He'll probably want to get back to his frigate before the storm hits. Now get below and change clothing.
Aye, aye, sir. While I went below, Captain Barry ordered Bosun not to alter sail because of the squall or for any other reason whatever without specific instructions from him.
Would you look at this, Captain
Nichols? Man must have been a small fella. This uniform doesn't fit me very well.
We'll just have to hope that Captain Hedspeth's eyesight
This boat's almost alongside, sir.
Oh, so it is. Under no conditions is he to be allowed below until I come back on deck.
I understand, Captain.
I'll be at the foot of the main companionway. Good luck, Mr. Graham.
Thank you, sir.
Hey! Who's in command here while my nephew's laid up?
I am, Captain Hedspeth. Please, let me give you a hand up.
Well, it's about time. Yes, damn it.
Welcome on board the Marlborough, Captain Hedspeth. I fear we didn't have time to prepare a proper...
Your bosun?
Bosun Graham, sir.
The top button of your waistcoat is unfastened, bosun.
Yes, Captain.
Now, this visit is quite informal, but I think your uniform ought to... I shall take the matter up with my nephew. What ailed him?
We don't know, Captain.
He's in his cabin?
Yes, Captain. He asked me to convey his apologies and to entertain you here on deck for a few minutes while he prepares himself.
Prepares himself? What's he got to do?
Shave, Captain.
Well, we can't object to that, I suppose.
Perhaps you'd like to make a tour of the ship, Captain.
Of this ship? Certainly not. I can see all I want to from here. I can't place your accent, bosun.
Nova Scotia, sir.
Indeed? I'd have put it further south.
Perhaps the captain would care to consider returning to his ship.
I didn't hear you, bosun.
I said the squall is coming on remarkably fast, Captain.
Yeah.
Do you think the colonists will try for independence, Captain?
Damn near got it already, haven't they? All the fault of those blockheads in Parliament. The king should see to these things. Are you sure, Lieutenant Nichols?
There are certainly a great many malcontents in Virginia, Captain. Oh, and in Massachusetts, too, of course.
Malcontents? What is this gibberish, bosun? Why are you attempting to protract the conversation?
Beg pardon, Captain. I was just trying to carry out the lieutenant's orders to entertain you.
Your performance has been extraordinary, bosun. However, I'm ordering you to take down all sail now until the squall is passed. And I'm going below to see Lieutenant Nichols shaved or not.
getting heavier, Mr. Graham. Can you still make out the frigate?
Just barely, Captain Barry.
Where's Captain Hedspeth?
Well, as soon as I saw you come on deck, sir, I had Watkins taken below. I expect he's shouting about our carelessness in storing powder in the passageway.
The captain will be a fine prize for us to take into Philadelphia. You handled him well, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir. I must confess I'm still trembling.
Perfectly natural. He's a man of some... There. The Penelope's completely hidden by rain. We're getting out of here. Helmsman?
Aye, Captain.
Hard to starboard.
Hard to starboard, Captain.
Bo'sun, mainsail haul.
Mainsail haul, Captain. Step lively, man.
Captain Barry told me that we would be running blind for a time with the storm. Once we had put a few miles between us and the frigate, he said we could heave to again and wait for the squall to pass. Then, at last, we would make for Philadelphia.
You can count on a good report, Lieutenant. You have most certainly proved yourself to me.
Thank you, sir.
Now, break out our proper colors, Mr. Graham. We don't want our friends to think we're British.
Aye, aye, sir. Here comes Captain Hedspeth, sir. He does not look pleased. Good luck with him, Captain Barry.
We can trust my Irish luck will hold, Mr. Graham.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Powder Ship, was written by Robert Ellis and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Leonard Nimoy. Our stars were Arthur Hill, Len Berman, and Peggy Hazard. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Tommy Cook, Ivor Barry, Ben Wright, Jack Manning, and Richard Peel. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. Associate Director of Mutual Radio Theater is Ken McManus. Sound effects were created by Bud Tollefson. Mark Trella is Production Supervisor. Recording Engineer, Hal McDonald. Music Editor, Lee Ringette. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears, a name that means quality and value. A name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Lorne Green. Listen in on Monday for another story about the West, as it was then, as it is now.